Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to worship this morning. Nice to see so many faces out there today. Just for those of you who don't know, although the rules, of course, about COVID and everything have changed, as you can see from everybody still wearing their masks, we've decided to keep it safe in here and keep the mask wearing. However, we are allowed now to sing, although we're asked to sing gently. So those of us with nice booming voices, try to restrain them somewhat, but we will be singing along with the hymns today. So it's my pleasure to welcome Charles Nevin back to some sort of normality at church, who will be leading our worship today. Thank you, Charles.
Gracious God, bless our worship this day, that it may fill our hearts with the gladness and holiness of this Sabbath. Let us receive from it increased strength and guidance over all that we do in the days ahead. So shall the Spirit of this day spread blessings over all days. Come, let us worship. Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning on this bright and beautiful day. I notice women like everybody else has got roadworks as you suddenly arrive, basically. To every road you go down now, they're digging it up or doing something with it, basically. You never seem to get much better. But glad to be with you this morning. And we begin our singing with hymn 608 on the screen, All Praise to Our Redeeming Lord, who joins us by his grace. Let us pray. Loving Lord God, we look with wonder at the world around us. We are awed by the beauty of your creation, by the wonder of all kinds of things, the ordinary everyday that we take for granted. The beauty that we almost pass by, but which if we stop and watch and reflect on, reminds us of how precious we are in your sight. And how precious our earth is to each other. And so, Lord, bless this, our creation. And bless the tranquility of this place, sanctified by the prayers of generations who have been here, this and our previous building, have been part of what we have done and how we live our lives. How by their example, by their commitment, by their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have enabled us to be here today. And for that rich heritage of the community of saints, we give you thanks. But sometimes, Lord, we need to stop and just for a moment to be quiet to reflect on what it means to be a child of God, to wonder that we are so special that Christ died on the cross that we might have eternal life. And so for a moment, Lord, in the quiet of this place, surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, we stop and in silence listen to your voice. Thank you, Lord, for listening to us in the quiet places of our hearts, enabling us to know and reflect with you what life means and how it is sanctified by your presence. We thank you for the privilege and the joy of worship and meeting here together. We thank you that we're able now still to meet in this way, but also still reflect on the wonders of the IT system that enables us to join together wherever we are in the world in an act of worship. And for the gift of that new way of expressing, we give you thanks. We also give you thanks for a living and sustaining God who calls us to use our gifts in his service, who enables each one of us in a different way to contribute to our world, to make a difference because of the love that we have and the love we have received through you. We thank you, God, because in Jesus Christ you gave us a pattern for living, to enable us to recognize the need to be concerned for and love others, to make a difference, and to know that difference counts in other people's lives. But in all our thanksgiving, we come also to seek forgiveness. We are conscious that our attempts at being good Christians, at following the way of Christ, doesn't always work out. And so just for a moment, Lord, we confess our sins, remembering all those things that we wish we had done and hadn't done, and all those things that we've omitted. Forgive us, Lord, where too often we have been so concerned with self that we have not thought of others. And just for a moment, Lord, in the silence, we confess our sins. Thanks be to God. Our sins are forgiven. These prayers and all our prayers we offer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. And now we have our words from the epistles.
The reading is taken from the Epistle to the Ephesians, Chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for their work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all who come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full Spirit of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness, in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love. We must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knitted together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the growth in building itself up in love. Thanks be to God.
Our next hymn is one accompanied by several members of our congregation. Just the first and last verses of the hymn, "The Spirit lives to set us free. Walk, walk in the light." In our reading from Ephesians, there is one critical word, one that, as it were, creates a division between the two parts of Ephesians. The word is a simple word, therefore. Therefore. Up until this point in Ephesians, Paul has been talking about the duty of Christians. He's talking about, the doctrine. He talked about the doctrine, what the doctrine is, how we ought to live our lives. And then he comes to the point, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, therefore saying, okay, now, we've talked about it, we've got to do it. We've got to do something about it. We've moved from doctrine to duty. We've moved to the point of saying, okay, so now we've got the rhetoric sorted out, how are we going to live the lives? How's it going to make a difference? And Paul, held captive by Christ's love, is saying, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, this is what we need to do. He's talking about living a life worthy of calling to which we are called. He talks about walking the way of faith, walking the way of Christ, enabling others to see within what we do, what Christ is and how Christ can change lives. It is about an integrity between the words that we speak and the actions that we carry out. It is that sense of wholeness that characterized Christ, who was at one with his message. And Paul is saying, if we listen to the words of Jesus, if we listen to his message, then we must live that message. We must enable it to be seen in our lives, that others may see the demonstration of what Christ's love is about. And then he goes on to say, well, how do we do that? How do we do that? And let's reflect on some of the things that he said within there. Humble. He talks about humility. He talks about humility. Humility is valuing others. If we think of a picture of humility, it probably stands out as Christ kneeling at the feet of his disciples with a bowl of water and a towel. and washing the sand from their feet. Humility, that sense of valuing others, of seeing their needs, of recognizing their expectations, of wanting to be with them, to lift them up, to give them a sense of their own worth, that we think of humility, putting others first, enabling us to see that others do matter, that whilst we might think we're important, then surely our call is first to love Christ, then to love others, and finally to love ourselves. Simply saying, what do people need? How can we make a difference? What can we do, however simple it might be, to make that difference? It might be a phone call. It might be a conversation in the street. It might be a letter. It might be any number of simple things. It might be just putting an arm around us when we're allowed to do so. But it is actually feeling, that person feeling they matter, they make a difference. Not to stand on our own dignity, but rather to recognise that we are there to proclaim Christ by how we live our lives. Humility, recognising the needs of others. The story of William Carey, the great founder of the modern mission movement, he was at a great banquet, and one of the more rich and powerful lords said to him, I say, Mr. Carey, I gather you were a shoemaker. To which Carey replied, no, sir, I was not a shoemaker. I only repaired shoes. That sense of recognising that it's not my dignity. It is to be honest to myself, honest to the Christ whom I follow. He also goes about the need to be gentle, the need to be gentle. This new power, this gentleness. I think it's important that we ought to see each person with a label over their head that said fragile, handle with care. Fragile, handle with care. How many times can we remember some slight, some way that we have been embarrassed, something that has made us shudder because of what someone has said or how they've reacted to us? And we've held those. And sadly, for some people, they have become a limit on what they can do. The young woman who was told at the age of 7 she couldn't sing, and she's never sung since, and in her 50s. Because one teacher once said, you can't sing. We are put into boxes by others. Never be defined by someone else's opinion of yourself. Never be held back by what people say. And more importantly, be careful what you say. To be gentle is to say, yes, we are all fragile. We can so easily be crushed. We remember those moments where people have criticised us or said we couldn't do something. And for some, there has been a point where their life has stopped. They have not done that since. People hurt, and our gentleness lifts them, enables them to see themselves, and more importantly, gives them the courage to do that which they felt they couldn't do. Fragile, handle with care. But also patience. Patience to give people time. We live in a rushing world, don't we? We rush all over the place. We're flying about doing this, that and the other. We rush about trying to get from one place to another. Busy, 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 busy. And sometimes we need to stop and listen to a person's need. As a chaplain, one of my roles is simply just loitering with intent. It's just being there and talking to people. Not with a purpose, not trying to do anything specific, but just giving them time to be, time to talk about what's happening in their lives. Because too often we end up where people are repressed. They have an issue in their hearts and minds, but they don't know how to share it. They don't know how to articulate it, what they ought to do about it. We're asked to give patience, to stop, and to say, okay, just sit down. Let's talk about where you are. Just talk to me about how you feel. Just give them time that you listen, and you listen with care. Not to interrupt, not to enter a competition conversation, but rather just enable them to express in their hearts and minds and through their voices what's going on in their lives. The courtesy of patience, of waiting, of recognizing that it doesn't matter if it takes 5 or 10 minutes longer. It doesn't matter if you're not there quite on time. It doesn't matter if something has to be delayed, because along the way, you've given someone confidence. You've given someone hope. You've given someone a sense of their worth. You've given someone time, the most precious commodity we can ever offer. And finally, we're reminded about bearing in love. Love is a choice. We can love, we can care for someone, or we can ignore them. It is a choice. That great word of Paul, love never fails, from 1 Corinthians 13. That great word, that great phrase, love never fails. Whatever else happens, whatever might happen in life, the one thing that will never fail was the expression of love given and love received. A powerful image. And again, we remember those special moments when we were loved. When something happened that made us feel so warm and glowing inside, because someone stopped and someone cared and someone listened and someone was gentle and humble and actually made a difference to our lives. But love is about our own vulnerability. If we love, we give something ourselves away. Jesus Christ loved. He loved to the uttermost. In order that his love might be consumed and consummated, he died upon the cross, that we might have life and life in all its fullness. Love involves rejection. It involves pain. Sometimes our love, our attempts, our need to help others, or our desire to help others is rejected. We feel let down, and yet we still must love. We must still make a difference. That is the great center of the Christian gospel. How often did Jesus get rejected? How often was he ignored? How often were people turned aside from him? And yet he never stopped loving. He never stopped loving. Love never fails. That is the call of the Christian faith. That is the certainty that whatever else happens, love will never fail. So if we live that way, if our duty is to live in those ways, to recognize humility, gentleness, patience and love, why do we do that? We do that to demonstrate that we are one people, that we are followers of the one Christ. We are Christians first. The story told of Wesley, a legend about Wesley. Wesley died, and on his way to heaven, he passed the gates of hell. And he stopped for a moment and said, "Tell me, are there any Episcopalians in here?" "Yes," they said. "Are there any Anglicans in here?" "Yes," they said. "Are there any Methodists in here?" "Yes," they said. So somewhat disheartened, he went off to heaven and he asked the same questions. And at the end of the questions, he said, "Well, who's in heaven?" And they said, "Just Christians. Just Christians. Just Christians." We live by our conduct. We live by our lives. We are Christians first. We are not labeled, we are not denominations, we are not sects. We are first of all followers of Christ. We are followers of the one who died upon the cross that we might have life and life in all its abundance. I therefore, a prisoner in the Lord, beg you to live a life worthy of the calling to which we are called. If you remember nothing else from today, remember therefore. Amen. Let us pray. At the end of each short prayer, I'll say, we put our trust in God, our strength. If you respond with, "Put our trust in you." God, our strength, we put our trust in you. Loving Lord God, we bring before you our world. A confused and tangled world where there is insecurity, refugees struggling for homes and some sense of their own worth. We think of the fighting in Afghanistan, where it seems that an attempt to bring freedom and hope to a people is yet dashed by others. We think of the forest fires, of the other extreme weathers with floods. people's lives turned about by the impact of global warming. We see a world that's fragmented in its approach to how it might move forward. A world where we talk of saving the climate, but talk often does not result in action. We delay, and perhaps one day we'll delay too long. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray that it might find its own value, its own worth, that it might feel at one with itself, and we might begin to be not just people of different continents, but people drawn together by one humanity. God, our strength, we put our trust in you. Loving Lord God, we think of our own community. We think of the isolated and the lonely and the fearful. Those who see still the impact of COVID, who fear for the future, who still feel isolated or fearful of going out, fearful of doing the things that they did before because somehow it doesn't seem right, it seems unclear how they ought to live their lives. Suddenly something shifted and they're not quite sure how to get on the new way of living, how to begin to build confidence. Help us, Lord, to give support, to give love, to give that sense of gentleness to those seeking to rebuild their lives, seeking to find new confidence in the future. God, our strength, we put our trust in you. We give thanks for those working in the caring professions, whatever they might be, as they're seeking to bring hope, to bring help, to bring healing, to bring a sense of value into the lives of others. We thank you for what they do, how they put their lives on the line sometime, how they're prepared to work for low wages, but still will care, still will offer all the love that they can, all the support that they can. God, our strength, we put our trust in you. We pray for our young people in the school holidays and those in the teaching profession, education, who seek a rest from the constant change, from the battering of regulations and requirements and changes in law. The struggles of young people who yet again have had to have a year of interrupted education, where they cannot be tested in the sense of their examinations, but have to deal with interpretations of their future, who feel let down by the system, who find themselves that the education they received not quite what they wanted, particularly those in higher education universities who discover that actually university life is much more constricted, much more constrained than it was in the past. And they feel they're losing something, that they are a generation who've lost that joy of university education, that experience that will carry them forward in the years ahead. God, our strength, we put our trust in you. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those of our church family in need, for those whom we remember at home or in hospital who need our prayers. We pray for them. We give thanks for their lives. And we pray that they may need and may they know the love of God surrounding them and holding them. God, our strength, we put our trust in you. Finally, remember those who have died. We think of Beryl Goddard. Think of Wendy Lewis, Ron Casely, others known to us that we name in our hearts, people special who by their love, by their presence, by the conduct of their lives, have left a lasting legacy that have carried us forward, given us an example for the future, for their lives and all that their lives have done to change our lives. We give you thanks. God, our strength, we put our trust in you. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And now we sing our hymn, Summoned by the God Who Made Us, Rich in Our Diversity. Loving God, lead us out into the world, renewed in vigour, filled with hope, burning with faith, and focused in serving. Send us back to live and work for you, sharing your love and living your life. And so may the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be amongst us and remain with us always. Amen.